Hello, everyone, and happy Tuesday. This is Whitney with the Conference for Women. Thanks for joining us for Being Happy and How to Get There with Sibby Ratzlaff and Kathy Kinney. I want to encourage you, if you are on Twitter, to follow along and tweet highlights at MassWomen or at TexasWomen. Sibby and Kathy, thanks so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Glad to be here.
So a little bit about Cindy. She was named to the Forbes 20 Best Branded Women on Twitter list, and Forbes Women called her one of the most influential women on entrepreneurship. She's a contributor to Business Insider, where she writes on social media marketing strategy, and her essays have appeared on Oprah.com, CNN.com. And as Vice President of Brand Marketing at Rodale, she pioneered a marketing methodology called the Marketing 360, which is now widely emulated throughout the industry. Her firm, Brand New Brand You, specializes in digital messaging and content marketing through social media. And along with Kathy, she's co-authored two best-selling books on happiness and boundaries, Queen of Your Own Life and the newly released Queenism. And Cindy, if people want to follow along with you on social media, how do they best do that?
The best way is that on Twitter at @brandyou, or on Facebook at Cindy Ratzlaff, Brand New Brand You. Either one is great. I'm on Twitter nonstop.
And Kathy, what about you? I'll read a little bit of your bio in just a second, but if people are interested in following you, what's the best way to do that?
You know, we post every day on Facebook, Queen of Your Own Life, so that's probably the best, I think.
Fantastic.
We have little queenisms every day. We
fantastic. Well, Kathy is best known for her iconic role as Mimi on the ABC hit TV series The Drew Carey Show. She's appeared in many movies and dozens of TV shows, including Seinfeld, Whose Line Is It Anyway?, My Name is Earl, and The Secret Life of the American Teenager. As I mentioned, along with Cindy, she is the co-author of two best-selling books, Queen of Your Own Life and Queenism. She is also the star and co-producer of the multi-award-winning website MrsP.com, which promotes literacy and the joy of reading for children. So, Kathy and Cindy, welcome.
Thank you. It's so much fun to listen to someone talk about Kathy, because I've known her for decades, and I'm still astonished by what she's accomplished every day. So that was a lot of fun for me.
That's funny. I felt the same way. I was thinking, but that's actually the point of what we're going to talk about is, you know, I mean, I listened, Whitney, to what you were saying about Cindy, and I was like, oh, she's so cool. She's so smart. She's done so much, you know, but then when you know the real person, it's not that we're not both smart and competent and brilliant and courageous and everything. It's just that, you know, when you're looking from the outside in, or outside, you're the inside of you to the outside of someone else, it's, you know, it's a great myth. But I'm going to let Cindy talk about that.
And that's a great lead-in. We want to talk about happiness not being a destination, but really being a series of small choices that we make every day. For example, we tell ourselves these tall tales or these myths, these untrue stories about ourselves every day. We tell ourselves, I'll be happy if, you know, I'll be happy if I have a better job, if I'm thinner, if I have a better relationship, if I make more money, if I had big boobs, frankly, if I were prettier, younger, blonder, whatever it is that you think is going to make you happy, we're here to say that's not the case. We are so ashamed on the whole of being ourselves that we begin to think that we're not enough. So those I'll be happy ifs run hand in hand with the would have, should have, could haves of regret. So there's a shame, and then there's regret. And the regret of would have, should have, could have is about perceived losses that you might have had in the past. And it's also about comparing ourselves to other people, because if we're comparing ourselves to other people, we are never going to be happy. You know, what we see from the outside on other people's lives is almost always a work of fiction. Everybody is carrying a burden, whether we can see it or not. So when we think their lives are perfect, we are mistaken, and we are telling ourselves untrue stories.
I'm thinking about years and years ago, I went to an audition. It was when I first started out as acting, and I was terrified all the time, but I went to this huge audition, and I knew that the character had to be naked in the jungle with just a couple of well-placed leaves, and the thought of being naked in the jungle with a few placed leaves just freaked me out. I totally blew that audition, and that's one of my, you know, shoulda, coulda, wouldas. I was like, oh my gosh, if I'd just not been so frightened, I could have had that role, and, you know, I could have had a different career, and the truth is that I don't want a different career. I didn't want to be naked in the jungle with a couple of bamboo leaves across my hoo-ha. You know, I'm really happy with the career that I have, and it's the career that I'm supposed to have. You know, I had someone come to me one time and say, you've done two movies with Robert De Niro. What could possibly be wrong in your life? And I thought, are you insane? You know, and that's what I was saying before. If you're on the, you know, you're going from your insides looking to my outsides, of course everything's going to be brilliant. Oh, she's done two movies with Robert De Niro. But the truth is, I'm still just who I am. You know, I'm a woman who has come from a place of great low self-esteem, someone who experiences fear and anxiety about moving through my life. And these are things that I've had to work on. And that the truth is that we're all more alike than we are different. And what do I get and what do we all get from telling ourselves these tall tales or these myths? Well, we don't have to do anything. If you're telling yourself this story, the fear and the anxiety that you create just stops you cold. You know, if I say, oh, I'll never be a brilliant, you know, baker like Martha Stewart, you know, why would I even want to try? I keep myself down by telling myself these stories. And where did they come from? Possibly things that other people told me, your family, your friends, or things, ideas that you get from the media, that if you're not blonde and, you know, curvy and 21 years old, that you're not good enough. And so the thing that I think is, these are just sort of lies that we tell ourselves, and it's like keeping ourselves in a straitjacket. And really, for me, I just got so fed up with that fear and living like that, that I had to make a change. And in the Midwest, we call that, it's time to, and I've cleaned this up, poop or get off the pot. You just have to make your decision that you don't want to live that way anymore, because it's just you in a bad habit trying to control yourself when really it's all about living the adventure. So the things that I used to tell myself, I wouldn't let a stranger say those things to me. So I needed to learn to stop the negative talk. And it's easy to do it. It just takes a little practice.
So we wanted to talk very specifically about how do you stop that negative self-talk, because this is one of the hardest things for people to do once they fall into this habit. We have a couple of easy tools that we want to share with you. The first one is learn how to reboot your thinking. Now, whether it's first thing in the morning or last thing at night, many of us have these negative thoughts that are rolling around in our heads like a movie loop. And we can think of millions of ways in which we could have done something different or something more. But we have a lot of trouble listing all the good things about ourselves. So for me, it's morning when that loop starts. And here's what I do. When my eyes first pop open and that list of would've, should've, could've starts to drag me to the dark side, I do not allow myself to get out of bed until I reboot my thinking. I lay there, I take a deep breath, and I start a new list of truths about who I am. You know, I start by saying, I'm brave enough. I'm brave enough to get out of bed today. I'm brave enough to live my life. I'm a woman who's kind, loving, intelligent, worthy. I'm a lifelong learner. I'm curious. And pretty soon I'm able to really make that list long. I'm willing to live the adventure that is my life. Now I let myself get out of bed. Now I'm ready to go out and have that adventure. And the would've, should've, could've list that I woke up with has been rebooted. So that's my first tip. And Kathy's going to talk to you about our second one.
I am, because, you know, it seems so natural to that voice, that loop, that Cindy was talking about that's in my head to say, oh, you're so stupid, you're fat, you're not funny, you're not all the knots, you're not this, you're not that, blah, blah. That, you know, that's a little loop that runs in my head, or I should say ran in my head, and it seemed very comfortable. But for me to say, I'm brave, I'm kind, I'm smart, I'm funny, I'm a good friend, I'm an intelligent woman, I'm intuitive, that makes me go, ooh, because it seems so uncomfortable. And also, again, this is that Midwest thing about tooting your own horn, but, you know, it's okay, because these are the truth. These are the truth. And so learning to break that habit of being comfortable with those negative voices and just hearing the bald-faced truth about what kind of really wonderful woman you are, that takes just a little bit of practice. So you reboot in the morning before you even get out of bed, and you try and set that track, the new loop. So what do you do during the day? Well, to keep that going, we're big about affirmations here. We love our affirmations. You know, for years, I used my imagination to torment myself. It's that classic, I've got a headache, must be a brain tumor, you know, oh, I stubbed my toe, oh, it's painful, oh, it's toe cancer, you know, whatever. I could use my imagination to go right from 0 to 60 and have it be a major drama. And now I like to use my imagination to help heal myself. And how that works is affirmations. So sometimes I will mutter an affirmation to myself, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. I think Cindy loves to say this. It's not like we're doing, you know, brain surgery. What we do is what we do. And if we make a mistake, it's fine. It's fine. Everything's going to be all right. My problem is perfectionism. You know, I was an only child. I still am. And my parents, you know, my father died when I was 15, and my mother was nervous and frightened, and she relied on me a lot, and I didn't know any better. And then everyone began to rely on me, and I believed that I had to be perfect. And even now, I struggle with that. And in that perfectionism, it's that Martha Stewart thing that I was talking about before. Well, I'll never be as good a baker, chef, cook, housekeeper as Martha Stewart, and I can whirl around, 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 around in my head, and then until all of a sudden I can't even move. My fear keeps me from moving forward, and what I need to do is be vigilant. I have to be vigilant about the language that's in my head, the things that I say to myself, and how to stop that. And one of the things we use is affirmations. Affirmations. Sometimes I print them on a card and put them on the mirrors that I look in most, and sometimes I just mutter them over and over in my head when I have some free time and I feel the negative loop starting to spin out. And for me, it's, I forgive you. I forgive you for thinking you need to know everything. And that's just the classic. You don't have to know everything, and I forgive you for thinking you should, because I think I'm supposed to know everything, absolutely everything. And sometimes I just have to say to myself, I want you to know that you're enough, just the way you are. Now, does that sound loony? A little. But you know what? It works. These are tried and true tools that we have used and that work for us on a daily basis. And the more you do it, the better it gets, the easier it gets.
It's so true. It's not that I don't hear negative thoughts anymore in my head. It's just that it's easier for me to recognize that negative language and pause and take a break and reframe it. So whenever I hear something negative going on in my head, something I'm saying to myself, I stop and I say, no, that is not the truth. Here is the truth. And I say it out loud. And I need to say it out loud to myself. And I know that there are people who think I'm a crazy woman because I am talking to myself on the street. But it's better for me that they think I'm crazy and I'm reframing that negative language than that I don't. So now let's talk about, you've reframed your own negative thinking about how to take care of yourselves. But what about when others are involved? You know, you cannot control the thinking that comes through your front door, you know, whether it's metaphorical or really. Sometimes that negative thinking lives right in your own home. Sometimes it's in the cubicle next door. And I've come to realize that I'm the least happy when I'm personally not crystal clear about what it is I can and cannot do, what I want and don't want to do. And when I don't communicate that clearly to myself or to others. That's why our final point here is that it's so important to learn to set strong boundaries. You know, boundaries is really just another word for telling the truth. If you say yes to everyone, you're almost always saying no to yourself. So we build in this pause. We like to recommend pausing all the time before committing to things. And here's why. We developed this because I'm personally a serial yes sayer. When someone asks me to do something, yes is already on my lips. And it's mostly because I want them to like me. I don't want them to think I can't be relied upon. I want to be the person who saves the day. But the truth is, if I say yes to everyone, I'm going to disappoint someone, or I'm certainly going to deplete and disappoint myself. So now the tool for me is that I pause, and anytime anyone asks me to say something, I say, let me get back to you. I'm going to have to check my schedule. And then I'm able to pause, ask myself these questions. Am I able to do this? Do I want to do this? And am I willing to do this? And if the answer to those questions is yes, I'll get back to that person and I'll say, yes, I'd be glad to do that. But if the answer to any of these things is no, I have to respectfully decline. And that's how I set boundaries for myself as a recovering yes-sayer, you know, as a serial people-pleaser. I just have to do that for myself. Someday I hope that I will be able to say no and yes exactly when I need it. But for now, I have to say to myself, I need a pause so I can think. And that's what I do. That's the tool that I use, and I hope it's helpful for you.
Because it's so true that, you know, I can admit that I want everybody to like me too. And it's just not possible, and it really, you know, isn't any of my business what other people think of me. But I also am one of these, my perfectionism comes from thinking that I'm the only one who can do it right, which is so, not only is that not true, but that takes away from everyone else's experience of learning how to live their life if I'm always trying to pick up all the loose ends and make it work. And because it is so uncomfortable to learn to take care of yourself in the beginning. If you've got a good friend like Cindy and I, even though we live on opposite sides of the United States, we do this thing called bookending. If Cindy has some big yes or no that she needs to make in business, she'll call me up and she'll say, well, you know, I've got to do this, and here's what I think I should say, and we talk it through, and then she'll say, okay, I'm going to call them or go to the meeting or send them the email, and I say, okay, talk to you when you're done. And she'll call me or Skype me, and we go through it again. Here's what I said. And I'll say, that sounds good. It sounds to me like you've really set a strong boundary. You've done everything you can, or if I think she should have done a little more, maybe a little more. And that's called bookending. And it just helps you to make a little bit calmer these choices of saying yes and no. It helps to have a good agenda-free friend.
And it's, you know, it's really helpful for me if I have to do something that's particularly difficult. If I have to tell someone in particular in business that I cannot or will not do something, it stresses me out a lot. And sometimes I'll call Kathy and I'll tell her what I said, and she'll say, you know, it sounds to me like you have a little cleaning up to do because you may not have been as clear as you wanted to be. If I were that person, I might be left with the impression that maybe you would still do it. So I'll say, great feedback. I have to clean that up. So I'll call the person back and say, I just wanted to make sure that we're both on the same page about what I said and that we all understand what's going to happen next. And sure enough, most often there will be that moment where there was a little gray area, and my calling back to clean it up or clear it up was an excellent strategy and helped me have a better business relationship with this person because of my clarity. Now, this bookending thing also works in personal relationships. And in fact, sometimes it's the family relationships that are the messiest. So having a friend that you can call and go, all right, this happened. I'm really stressed out because nobody can push your buttons like family members. And then practice what you're going to say. Hang up. Go say what you need to say with love. Remember, there's no need to leave bodies, especially in a familial situation. And then call your partner back up. I call Kathy and I tell her what I said. And then she'll tell me, okay, now your job is to say nothing and let that person absorb it and deal with it because you have set a good, strong boundary. So having that support as you learn to say yes or no is truly invaluable.
Because it's true, and you want to do it with someone who's agenda-free. That's the important thing. And also what Cindy said about leaving no bodies, it's so true. You know, it takes practice to learn how to say yes and no. And, of course, you feel guilty. They feel angry because this is something you've never done before. But, you know, every year we tried to, Cindy and I tried to pick a word or a couple of words that that are important to us through the year. And this year it was clarity and honesty. We want to be clear and honest about what's going on. And if you live a life like that, then that's a life free of resentment, because resentment towards yourself for saying yes to do something when you really didn't have the time to do it, or resentment towards someone else when you feel like they made you do something, that's what starts those loops in my head. Oh, God, you're so stupid. Why did you blah, 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 that grumbly, awful, awful series of negative words. And so if by being clear about what I want, honest about what I want with myself and other people that I'm talking to, it keeps my life clean. It keeps the air moving. It makes it seem more like the kind of adventure that I want my life to be rather than just living in this dark cave of negativity.
So those three simple tools, we're able to foster more happiness in our lives. So we reboot negative thinking first thing in the morning or last thing at night. We practice affirmations whenever that stuff pops up in our heads. And we set strong boundaries and we bookend when we need help doing it. And just those few tools have increased the way that we feel about, the happiness that we feel in our lives way more than threefold. So we offer those to you, and we think they've been helpful for us, and we hope they're helpful for you.
We call them tried and true.
Yes. Cindy and Kathy, thank you for your tried and true happiness tips. And thanks so much for joining us again for everybody who's following on Twitter, at Mass Women or at Texas Women. And Cindy can be found at Brand You, and Kathy on your Facebook page. And remind us how they can find that.
It's Queen of Your Own Life.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Facebook.com/ Queen of Your Own Life.
And, you know, I just want to say that if any of the things that we said rang true for you, that you need to know that you're not alone, because we post these queenisms, these jolts of inspiration every day on Facebook, and we actually have over 255,000 women follow us every day because we are all more alike than different. And these are the topics that come up and that we talk about, and the queenisms are just jolts of inspiration, because we know that everybody's as busy as we are. So you want something that you can read that will change your thinking just for a moment, but follow you through the day. So come and visit us at Facebook. It's a fun,
yeah, let us know
fun
that
community.
You're there. We love to talk to people on Facebook. So we mm-hmm. talk to every person who leaves us a comment.
Of course, we're also on Twitter and Pinterest, and then we do have our website, queenofyourownlife.com, but we're posting every day on Facebook our little queenisms. So I'm sorry, Whitney, I probably interrupted you. Do you think anyone has any questions for us?
No. You know, what I was just going to say is if someone listening to this call wanted to get off the teleclass and do something instantly to increase their happiness, it sounds like a great way to do that would be jump on Facebook, see what you guys have posted today, and go from there.
Definitely, because we posted something special
today. So go on over to Facebook and see what we posted for the Conference for Women.
All right, fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody, and thank you so much, Cindy and Kathy.
You're welcome. Thanks, Whitney. Bye-bye.